show. Evan Bray, great to have you here on a Tuesday morning. Waking up to the news this morning that former U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney died at the age of 84. Dick Cheney, of course, Vice President under George W. Bush, Vice President when the September 11th attacks happened. We remember his prominent role in that. The other thing about Dick Cheney, I said this to the newsroom this morning, I will never forget, is you remember when he shot his hunting partner? It's 2006. I think it was February of 2006. They're in Texas. They're out on a quail hunt. And he shoots his hunting partner, a fellow by the name of Harry Whittington. Dick Cheney was using a 28-gauge shotgun at the time. He didn't die from his injuries. He was injured. He was hospitalized. They had to pull pieces of buckshot out of various parts of his body. But Saturday Night Live and a lot of late-night talk show hosts, of course, had a ball with that. But Dick Cheney, a longtime Republican, although he did not like Donald Trump. In fact, he made some headlines here in this last U.S. election voting for Kamala Harris over Donald Trump, nonetheless. Dick Cheney, longtime Republican, died at the age of 84. Well, it is budget day today, and we've been talking about this and leading up to this. There's been hints, there's little releases, teases of what you can expect in the budget. But there's lots to talk about here. And I'm asking the question this morning, what you hope to hear out of this federal budget. 1-877-332-8255. The lines are open now. Lots of texts coming in. So one of the things, before we even talk about the content of the budget, one of the things that is really interesting to watch is whether or not the budget will pass. They're not voting today. They vote towards the middle of November, likely. But whether the budget passes or not depends, of course, of whether or not opposition will support the budget. The Liberals are literally a handful of seats shy of having a majority government. So they themselves can't pass the budget. They need support of the NDP. A lot of people are speculating the lonely seven members that make up now the federal NDP representatives will support the Liberals. Will yet to be determined if that'll happen. The Conservatives, of course, we've heard Pierre Poilievre say if they take strides to positively impact affordability for Canadians, then yeah, we'll support the budget. The chances of that happening, I can't put my fingers small enough to exemplify the chance of that happening. I just do not see that happening. You know, the whole notion of basically abstaining from voting is one that it has me frustrated. And you may not see things the same way, but there is the possibility that if there are enough abstentions in this vote on the budget, that the budget will pass. So an abstention is almost like a vote of support. For everyone they get, it lowers the threshold of the majority, if that makes sense. So let's say they need three or four votes to pass the budget. If they got three or four abstentions, that means that the number that vote in favor would be higher than the number that vote opposed or against. And so that's really all they are needing, is a number of people to say they abstain from voting. And that, to me, feels like a cop-out. You're elected to go to Ottawa and make a decision on a variety of things that impact Canadians and impact the people that voted you in. So going there and saying, I'm abstaining, I hate it. Now, there will be people, politically minded people, who say there's a time and a place for abstentions, and that could be part of an overall strategy, and there may be reasons you want to do it, blah, blah, blah. I don't like it. It feels like you're shirking your duties. It feels like you're not willing to put your name on a piece of paper of what you stand for and what you are saying to those people that elected you to get in the position. So I don't like the possibility of this budget passing because of people who abstained from voting. I think it's, you might as well not even show up to work. Do you agree? Or do you think, yeah, there's a strategy there and there's a time and place? You know, I've heard someone say on lower priority issues, abstentions may have their place from a strategy standpoint, but something as important as the budget, they don't think people should be abstaining from voting. 1-877-332-8255. Let me know your thoughts. What do you expect? What do you want to hear out of this federal budget? They're calling it a generational budget. They're calling it a budget of a lifetime. I see a ton of people on the text line, and my friend Conspiracy Kevin was one of the first texters to say, in quotes, a generational budget, quotes, a budget of a lifetime means generational debt and a lifetime of serfdom and servitude for citizens. And then the head smack emoji. Sean in Weyburn said, I would love to see a 40% reduction in the federal government workforce. 40%. That's a big number. But that's Sean. That's, hey, I'm asking you what you want to see. This is what Sean wants to see. 40% reduction in the federal government workforce. Defund the CBC. Scrap the gun buyback program. Reduce foreign aid. Reduce corporate subsidies. And fire all government consultants. That's a good list. 1-877-332-8255. John in Ituna said, Evan, what I want to see, let's get rid of all the restrictions on oil and gas and the cancellation of all the carbon taxes. I know that'll never happen. I think there will be more in there of this dumb spending that we don't need or don't want. Phone lines are open for you. Text lines are open for you. 1-877-332-8255. This is the first budget for this Liberal government, of course. First one in a year. Summary of Carney's agenda since they released. And there's big pressure, of course, in this budget as well. We're going to see a handful of tax cuts, a substantial increase in defense and infrastructure spending. Yeah. And what is that deficit? What is that debt going to look like is going to be a big part of that as well. How is the government going to address? Maybe this is the question for you and I. How is the government going to address the anxiety we feel about a bunch of things that are important to us and our families? That cost of living question. Because we know there was actually just a poll done here. I've got it in front of me. A poll was done by Ipsos. The majority of people, the largest group of people, when polled about what they expected to see in the budget, the majority of people wanted to see prioritized help with the increased cost of everyday expenses. So things like investing in the military, it was there, but it was at 15%. Funding major projects in infrastructure, 15%. Mitigating the impact of U.S. tariffs, 25%. 42% of people responding to the poll, the largest group, said what they want is help with the increased cost of everyday expenses. 1-877-332-8255. Kevin in Regina Beach says Canada's socialist policies have made fixing this almost impossible. All government-run industries are dreadfully unproductive, and liberals keep setting up, more bureaucracies that further decline this. Canada needs a fundamental overhaul to the point that government unions are brought to production levels of the private sector. Part of what Kevin sent in, 1-877-332-8255. Lots of people are saying generational budget likely means massive spending. Every time you hear generational budget, just think, this is Tim with the text, they're talking about massive spending. Murray from Welwyn, I want to hear the word agriculture in there. Will agriculture feature prominently in this budget? Phone lines are open for you. The calls are coming in here. Lots of great texts as well. I'm going to take a break and then we'll come back. It is 1 hour of open lines. So I'm suggesting budget. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you hope to hear out of this federal budget. But there's lots we can talk about. Lines are open for you now here. 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. Welcome back to the program. Evan Bray, great to have you here. It's budget day, Tuesday morning. We know the budget is coming down probably around 3 o'clock our time this afternoon. What will the budget contain? And the question that I'm asking you is, what do you hope to hear out of this federal budget? Phone lines are open for you, 1-877-332-8255. I'm going to start with Cal in Oxbow. Cal, what is it for you? What do you hope to hear?
Well, good morning, Evan. Well, I hope to hear a lot of things, but I'll tell you what we won't hear. We're not going to hear about removing regulations that crush all of our industries. We won't hear the federal government proclaim our resource industry as our bread and butter, which would actually return private investment to Canada and create jobs, which would then offset all of the federal jobs that we won't hear being cut. And we won't hear major tax cuts, and we won't hear a capital gains tax cut, and we won't hear about stopping foreign aid. We're not going to hear a lot of things, I don't think.
You know, I'm curious to ask you this question, because there's a bit of a debate going online on the text line here. People are saying, you know, when I had Vashi on this morning, she said that Canadians don't want another election. There's a lot of people on the text line disagreeing, saying, are you kidding? That is exactly what I want. I would say, though, the follow-up question is, if you want another election, if you want this basically budget to not be supported, forcing through a confidence vote, then a federal election, do you think that the outcome would be different? Do you, Cal, think the outcome would be different if we had an election at Christmas?
That's a great question, Evan, because it sort of leads into the next thing that I was thinking is, I don't think it would make any difference because, you know, like Vashi talked about this idea, this price of sovereignty that they keep putting up. And what we've seen over the past number of elections is that half of the country is so brainwashed that they defend their tormentors every election. It's like Canadian socialists are in a classic Stockholm syndrome, you know, laced with Trump derangement syndrome. So I don't think the election would be any different. Unfortunately, out west, we're really stuck in a situation where we're under the thumb of these Eastern voters who continue to vote in these liberal policies.
I'll tell you, it's a question that I know the text line is worrying right now with people saying, absolutely, I would love to see this budget fail. And I think some would like to see it fail just for the theatrics of it. Like, it would be, obviously, it would be interesting to see how that would work. Of course, we're hearing from the Liberals. They're saying, hey, we're prepared to go back to the polls if that's what Canadians want, if that's what we hear when we call the vote on the budget. But I think the follow-up question has to be, if you're someone that says, absolutely, we need an election, we need it now, would it change? Would we see a change in government? Or is it possible that that minority becomes a majority government for the Liberals? 1-877-332-8255. Lots of storylines we're following on Budget Day. James in Saskatoon, you're next up. Your thoughts, what would you like to hear and hope to hear out of this federal budget?
Well, what I'm hopeful to hear is an acknowledgement to grow the GDP. And how would we do this? I think that there needs to be tax regime change so that people who give of their hard-earned money to compete in the investments class are rewarded and aren't necessarily punished. Like, when I go and invest in a company with the hope and the desire that it grows and it works hard and it does all of the great things so that it can be a great contributor to the Canadian economy, and yet if I reap a profit, I'm taxed at a very high rate. And I think that we need to get away from that. We need to get Canadians to want to participate in the investment class. And then through that, what ends up happening is that we can really focus back on the growth of GDP. And so to that, I think that that's that is the golden egg that is within our reach. You know, people often will point to our natural resources that we're blessed with, and that is true. And we have a lot of agricultural products that become a renewable resource that we're certainly incredibly beneficial of. But the reality is, we're underscoring what we really do have, and that is the Canadian people and our capacity to actually contribute back to the economy.
You know, it's going to be interesting, James. Like, do you think this government, this federal government, is saying they're focused on nation building? Of course, this is they're calling it a generational investment, and so that whether it's ports or rail or, you know, a pipeline is still in the possibility. So does that infrastructure build, the capital spend, create the investment opportunities that you're talking about?
I think it does. I think Mark Carney will be known as one of the greatest progressive conservative governments that we'll ever know. And that's why.
Hey, that's going to get people to the phone lines. What you just said will get people to the phone lines.
Oh, it will. And the reality is, I think Pierre will never win the election of prime minister. And his brand, until the conservatives change that leadership and go back to what was successful for them, and that was strong stewardship of the economic file. Yeah, Pierre's Chicken Little style and the cult-like fan club that he creates doesn't do nothing.
So. Interesting, James, that you say that. We've got Fred DeLory on the show later today. I'm looking forward to the conversation with him. He's a former national campaign manager for the Conservative Party. I plan on talking with him about budget, but I also plan on talking to him about that leadership review for the Conservatives that's happening in January. What does strategy look like? If Pierre is the guy, and I suspect and I do expect that he will be the leader after that review is done. But what is the strategy going forward? This is going to be a good chat with Fred DeLory coming up a little bit later on. Let's grab one more call before the break. I want to talk to Stephanie in Regina. Thanks for calling in, Stephanie. I'm asking the question, what you hope to hear out of the federal budget. What is it for you?
As a tradeswoman in the field of a welder, I would like to see job security and the pipeline going just for our economy.
Yeah.
Because, like, right now, our economy is, like, you know, and, like, we need to bring the money into our country and investors and everything.
How long have you been working in the trade, Stephanie?
Oh, since, like, 2014.
Mm-hmm. And you're a welder, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, have you seen an impact with the steel and aluminum tariffs and everything that's been going on? Has it impacted your industry or has it impacted your work?
Oh, for, like, big time, huge, huge. And then, like, right now, they said that they're selling off our copper. Like, what? Like, welders need copper.
Right.
And that, you know, like, we need that. We need our steel and aluminum and copper and our minerals and everything. We need that. For our jobs, for any job, even for plumbers, all the trades.
Always appreciate hearing from someone in the industry. So thanks for the call, Stephanie. Phone lines are open. We're going to do this right up until 10 o'clock. So lots of great texts I want to get to. But please give us a shout, 1-877-332-8255. With a big bright blue sky and a beautiful day this morning, Saskatoon being one of them, although southern parts of the province a little bit more cloud cover and not quite off to the start that parts are. Although off to the start, people are frustrated about what's going on. Traffic backed up in front of the U of S this morning, and I know I got a text from Deanna, said, explain to me why this traffic accident in front of the U of S with minor injuries, as reported by your radio station, is still being investigated. It's been 2 hours. They're not finished. Why does it take so long to take pictures, measurement statements, call a tow truck, and clean up the mess? It's ridiculous. Driving me crazy in Saskatoon. Well, I don't know the answer to the question, but I do know that often in an accident, even if the injuries are minor, depending on how old the people with the injuries are, if the person, sometimes there's a policy, if the person is a certain age, they will take precautions just to make sure that they don't let go of the scene before they do a full accident reconstruction on it, in case the injuries go south. So I know we will do that. For example, in Regina, I've seen that policy exists. Any injuries of a person 65 and over changes the way they investigate the accident. I don't know if that's the case here, but I do know that morning traffic in front of the U of S doesn't need to be inhibited worse than it already is. It does back up in that area. So appreciate the text, Deanna. Okay, 1-877-332-8255. The question that I'm asking, it's budget day today, federal budget coming down this afternoon. What do you hope to hear out of this federal budget? Lots of great texts coming in. Doug in Regina said we need a major course correction, a generational budget that generates revenue and focuses on paying down the deficit. Open up oil and gas production caps. Remove red tape around resource development. In 10 years, we could be miles ahead. The reality is none of this will be in the budget, says Doug in Regina. Some great points there as well. I am hearing a number of people and seeing a number of people worried and concerned about the deficit and how much it's going to add to that debt. I'm seeing people, a lot of people saying, like as a grandparent, Brent said, Evan, I have a granddaughter 3 years old, and my question would be, how much is she going to owe after this budget? I think that's a fair point, Brett. Fair point. I have a couple of grandchildren as well, and so when you think about the size of the debt, the amount of money you and I are paying every day, every year, just to service the debt. We're not even talking about paying it down, just to pay the interest on the debt. Big, 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 big money. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go back to the phone lines. I want to grab the call from Jason in Weyburn to start us off. Jason, what is it for you? What do you want to hear in this federal budget?
Well, what I would like would be massive amounts of red tape removing and investment in our energy and resource sector, and then maybe turning in on ourselves. The car manufacturing sector, I think I said this before, you can move a car manufacturing plant a lot easier than you can move a oil reserve or a potash reserve or a uranium reserve. I don't think we're going to do that. The system is just too intertwined. The car sector in Canada is going to be painful for a while, but there are things we can do to start to internalize it and start to build 60 to 70% of the vehicles we use in Canada if we start now. That would be some of the things. Look at the Toronto Blue Jays games and look at all the advertisements there. I mean, half of Canada was watching. And the biggest thing that I was seeing was, oh, my Lord, here's all this talk about the Ring of Fire and the rare earths. And I'm like, that's great. My question would be to oil industry, natural gas industries, LNG, why the hell weren't you on there advertising the hell out of that? That was a great opportunity to send your message across Canada. Ring of Fire, I think something's going to happen positive there, though it looks like Doug Ford and Mark Carney's honeymoon is over. By the way, I like Doug Ford, and some conservatives don't, but I do. I think we need a bad cop to every once in a while tell Trump how it is, because I think Trump actually respects that. But that opinion doesn't always go with everybody.
You know, I was thinking, because Doug Ford yesterday, this whole notion of the ad that he took out using Ronald Reagan's old speech from 1987, and it infuriated Donald Trump, and Mark Carney had to apologize. Continuing to live on, Doug Ford talking about this yesterday, in fact, in a news scrum that he did yesterday, confirmed that Mark Carney actually made more than one attempt to get him to cancel the ad.
I'll tell you one thing, what he did do, he called me from Asia a couple times and said, pull the ad. And I said I wasn't going to do it until we're going to pause the ad on Monday. And that's exactly what we did. It was 12.4 billion impressions around the world. And they talked about it on the Senate floor. I love the fact that four Republicans jumped over and voted against tariffs on Canada. So they were very effective. And they ended up getting rejuvenating the talks with the Democrats and Republicans down in the U.S. that a tariff on Canada is a tax on American people.
What was the Prime Minister's tone when he asked you a couple of times to pull the ad? Was he personally angry with your actions?
No, he wasn't angry at all. I fully understand the position he's in. He's trying to talk to the President, but the President was going to give us a terrible deal, like they gave UK a terrible deal, gave Japan even a worse deal, in my opinion, and we weren't going to go down that rabbit hole of getting a terrible deal. I always say no deal is better than a bad deal.
So Doug Ford, later in that conversation, by the way, said he understands why Mark Carney apologized, but he wouldn't have. He said he will never apologize to Donald Trump and never apologize for standing up for the Ontario people. is essentially where Doug Ford went on that. So again, Jason, thanks for the call. So Jason's point, we need to see them remove some of this red tape. We need to find a way to open up investment, open up industry. Oil and gas is every other text that I'm getting on the text line. People are saying, what I hope to hear out of this budget is a recognition of the role that Western Canada plays in the overall Canadian economy in a way that it is represented in legislation and policy development. Let's go back to the phone line. Bonnie and Wadena. Bonnie, thanks so much for calling in. The budget is being presented this afternoon. Many people have their eyes on this one. What do you hope to hear out of this budget, Bonnie?
Well, I would like to see them get rid of the industrial carbon tax because that affects the cost of our homes being paid on steel and cement and plastic. And also, fertilizer brings our food costs up as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also like to see them get rid of the tax havens. Apparently, Brookfield owes us $605 billion over the last 6 years. And tomorrow, or today, I think what the Canadian taxpayers are doing, they're putting up a sign right where the right at Parliament, where every Parliament can see the ongoing growth in the debt.
Mm-hmm.
So good on them.
Yeah, the Canadian Taxpayers Federation do that. I think, well, they've done it in Saskatchewan outside of the ledge. They show, the rate at which they have a digital, basically, clock measures the growing debt in Saskatchewan. That's essentially what they are doing outside of the Parliament buildings in Ottawa today, on the day that we are hearing about the budget being presented. 1-877-332-8255. One more quick call before we take our break. Perry and Osler. Perry, lots of people are saying what they want to see in this budget is serious cuts to try and reduce the deficit. And I know that's something that's on your mind as well.
Yeah, and the only thing they can do is they got to get rid of the carbon tax entirely and leave the economy go ahead, get out of the road. And another caller had texted in just saying, how much is my three-year-old granddaughter going to owe?
Yeah.
So I'm going to take a run at this. I figured this out. Okay, this is what we all owe the country. If we sold every house in this country, it could not pay back the deficit. And they're borrowing against the balance sheet of the country. So even if your home's paid for or not, you don't own it. That's how much money we each owe the government. We don't own any of our homes. Our homes couldn't even pay the deficit. We can't be in a worse possible place, period.
The generational impact is the worry. I mean, it's not just the worry about what you and I owe. I saw a report. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I wanted to say the report showed that every single Canadian from, the one-day-old baby to the 99-year-old and everybody in between owes about $33,000 or has an accumulated debt of $33,000 when you throw out, what the federal debt looks like. And that might have included provincial debts. I'm not sure about that. But when you're talking about just those that are paying taxes, obviously it takes out the kids, takes out a lot. I mean, exponentially that number goes up. So yeah, my one-year-old grandson is not paying taxes right now, but when it gets to the point that he is, if we're not making some serious steps into addressing it right now, what's that impact going to be? Lots of people on the text line posing that question as well. Let's take our last break, and when we come back, we will finish up. Phone lines are open for you, so are the text lines. I'm asking the simple question, what you hope to hear out of the federal budget that is being presented this afternoon. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. Lots of great information coming through your thoughts on what you would like to hear, you hope to hear out of this federal budget coming down this afternoon. Cameron in Regina with a public service announcement to all economic dummies. Cameron says you cannot spark an economy by job growth with increased wages and have a lowered cost of living. The opposite will happen. So how are we going to see some of the attempts to control spending in this? I mean, there is going to be obviously lots of spending announcements. It's interesting, you know, they talked about, in fact, they talked just yesterday about this comprehensive expenditure review. Ottawa launched this back in the summer to try and find internal savings. They're looking at three themes: modernizing operations, streamlining delivery, and recalibrating programs. The example, or at least one of the examples they gave, has me scratching my head a little bit. They're basically identifying that they're going to end the 2 billion trees initiative. You remember this? They decided that they were going to plant 2 billion trees. Contracts are in place to plant 1 billion trees. Those contracts will be honored, but the remaining funds reallocated to more effective climate and clean growth programs. That seems like a goofy thing to pick. If you're the federal government, you're wanting to tease the way in which you're going to save money. You're talking about how much money you're spending planting trees. It just seems like a weird. I mean, maybe what they're trying to do is appeal to those that are frustrated with federal government climate policies to say, you know, we're gonna take the money, or we're gonna scrap this. We're gonna try and put it into something more effective. But I question how much ground they're gonna gain with that. Now, you know, another decision and another, I would say, ambitious part of this is what sort of staff reductions we'll see in the public service. You know, those federal unions are bracing for, some are saying job cuts that could amount to 70,000 jobs by the time all is said and done. The biggest part of Ottawa's operating budget is personnel. $71.1 billion. Public service is a big chunk of that operating budget. $71.1 billion. So they are, of course, saying that that is going to be part of how they will streamline this. Pierre Poilievre has been calling for this. In fact, he had a news conference on the weekend where he said, we have to cut bureaucracy. We have to cut consultants. Consultants is an area that still is a head scratcher for many people, because if you've got robust staffing, if the public service has grown to the point that many argue it's obviously bloated, why then do you still have to farm out work? Why can't you use the staff that you've hired? It seems like one should negate the need for the other. But rolling back that growth that has happened, exponential growth in the public service, to the point that now the payroll is at $71 billion, is something that we will see targeted in this. Will it hit the mark? Will it get us where we need? Yet to be seen. Less in Corning, when we ask the question, what do you hope to hear out of this federal budget? I would expect Les would have a list, and he does. I want to see all of this carbon taxing crap gone. Erase Bill C-69, the ban on shipping oil off the Northwest Coast, gas lines and ports. I want a smaller government. I want more healthcare money, and we need to do something about immigration. If not, let's go to an election. Thanks for your list. Julian Battleford, they can spin whatever words they want to explain the budget, but one word will sum it all up: debt. Footnote, massive interest payments forever, and that is money that will leave the country and can't be used for anything here. 1-877-332-8255. Sheldon in Estevan, we need to see a break in payroll deductions in the budget. Federal deductions, i.e. COP and EI, have basically doubled in 6 years. There was an expectation, I was reading, here it is, an additional $3.6 billion in spending on expanding employment insurance benefits for workers affected by U.S. President Donald Trump's tariffs. I saw a text on the line saying that's an absolute waste of money. Why don't we focus on job growth in our country as opposed to paying people more money to stay home and not work? There are a number of industries that have been obviously negatively impacted by the trade war, by the tariffs. A lot of those industries and the job loss, I'm not going to say it's not happening in Western Canada, but certainly we are seeing it, I think, play out more in Western or in Eastern Canada than the West right now. But steel and aluminum, lumber, those industries are impacted. Others may not be job loss, but it is an impact to the bottom line. And agriculture with tariffs is one that we talk about a fair bit. Well, the conversation on budget is not done. In fact, we are, after the break, going to welcome Ian Lee back to the program. Ian's a great guest, Carleton University. We'll talk a little bit about expectations out of this budget and some low-hanging fruit that this government could choose to attack that would save money and advance us as a country. That conversation coming up next here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.